Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, thank you for being so good, so faithful. I pray, God, tonight you'll take thy word once again and speak to my heart, speak to your people's hearts. God, we sure need to hear from heaven. Lord, help us to take this matter that's before us, this one thing that we have before us tonight, and God, may it be evidence in all of our life. But God, may it be something that will be rooted and grounded and blossom and mature in our own lives. Lord, help us. I pray you would. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 4, if you will. Acts chapter 4. I want to give you a little introduction to this chapter before we go right into the message. We've got several verses we're going to read. I want you to see the context of the scripture. I want you to see what's taking place here before us. Here, Peter and John was preaching God's word. They were speaking the word of God, preaching. The Pharisees did not like what they was hearing. They didn't understand it. They didn't like it. So they decided to put Peter and John into prison and scold them and whip them and hurt them. And they gave all the glory to God. They said, we're preaching about Christ. We're preaching about God. And because the men feared God, these religious men didn't want to do anything to Peter and John to hurt them because they was scared for their own lives. So they stood them to the face and said, do not speak about Christ again. And they let them go. And we're going to find out here what took place in Peter's and John's life. But my friend, it's not Peter and John I'm interested in tonight. It's what took place in the church. Here the Lord Jesus Christ has written something down for us in Acts chapter 4. That if we would do here at this church, God promises several things would take place. Wouldn't you like to come to church service and know someone would get saved? Well, I sure would. Wouldn't you like to come to a church service where you know God would speak to your heart? Wouldn't you like, my friend, like to come to a church service where you wouldn't have any care or concern in the world except what God's doing? I sure would. God's given us something here, and if we follow what's taking place, if we put this the application into our own lives, I believe we have the same results. Look here, if you would, in verse 23. It's speaking about Peter and John. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now here's Peter and John. They left prison and they went to their own company. That's speaking about a church tonight. They went to the church house. They went to their own company. It says in verse 24, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the seas and all that in them is. So I want you to really get and understand what's going on. Peter and John left prison. They sent them to go. They let them go. They just sent them and say, hey, don't speak no more about Christ. We're going to let you go. We don't want to see you no more. They went to their own company. They went to the church house and they told the church house what took place, what happened in their own lives. And the church began to do something. Notice what they began to do. We just read it here, verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth and the seas and all that in them is. They begin to pray. And in verse 25, it goes on, who by the mouth of the servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to the heel, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. So I really want you to understand what's taking place. Peter and John was scourged, was let go. They went to the church house. They told the church house, they said, hey, these chief priests and rulers, they told us to not talk about Jesus anymore. And my friend, us fundamental Baptists, you know what we do? We say, hey, go get our shotguns. Go get our 44 Magnums. We're going to go back to the chief priest, and we're going to teach them a lesson that we've got the freedom of speech, and we can talk about anybody and everybody we want to. We can mention the name of Jesus. We can pray, read our Bibles, go soul winning, pass out gospel tracts, and there's nothing they can do about it. That's what we would do. But what did they do? They fell on their knees and prayed. And ask God for help. They quoted some Bible verses out of Psalms 22. And I want to read these to you if you'll turn there. Save your place in Acts chapter 4. And turn to Psalms 2. And notice here. They quoted these Bible verses. There is an awful time. There is a stressful time. It was a time of hardship in their life. It was a time where they was told not to preach about Jesus anymore. So they begin to pray. And as they lifted their voices, here's what God brought to their memory. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth are set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sordid pleasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. My friend, when the church heard of the bad news that Peter and John couldn't preach no more about Jesus, they hit their knees and began to pray. And God put Psalms 2 in their hearts to quote, my friend, not so God will know who he is, but so they will know who God is. My friend, Psalms 2 speaks about that God is still God. No matter what takes place, no matter what happens, no matter what conflicts comes tomorrow, God is still God, and God is still on his throne, and God is still in control, and God, my friend, still has all power to accomplish his will here in this world. Here in Acts chapter 4, turn back with me. As they begin to pray, notice what it says once again in verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Look what it says here in verse 31. And when they had prayed, that's what I want to preach tonight, when they had prayed. What's going to happen when the church prays? What's going to happen when us that calls ourselves Christians has been born again, we're believers in Christ, we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. What's going to happen when we come together in one accord and pray? God's given us something. He's given us 8 things that can and will take place, but only when the church comes together and pray in one accord. This is going to take place when all of us comes together and prays. The Bible says in verse 20 and 24, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. That means everybody that was present, everybody that was in the room, they began to pray to God. And the Bible says here in verse 31, and when they had prayed, here's what took place, notice. The place was shaken where they was assembled together. Now, church tonight, where do you assemble? God's house, the church building, the Lord's house. We assemble here in what we call Open Door Independent Baptist Church, this building. And the Bible says that when they had prayed, that God has come in his power and has shaken the church house. I'm going to tell you what we need, beloved. We need God to come in his power and shake open door in Independent Baptist Church. Hey, my friend, we've got too comfortable being lax and being loose and being lazy. We need God to come in power and just give us a whole old-fashioned Holy Ghost felt shake, my friend. The Bible says when they prayed, not just when the pastor and the deacon and the trustees, not just the Sunday school teachers, but when they prayed, I'm speaking about the church, I'm speaking about us tonight. If you want God to do something supernatural, it's going to take time of prayer. But when they had prayed, they didn't pray very long, but they were sincere and honest when they prayed. They realized who God is and who God was and what God can do when they prayed. The Bible says when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they was as assembled together. I don't know about you, beloved, but I want God's power in our church. Hey, I want that fire to fall from heaven. I want him to consume up all the chaff and all the deadness and all the sin and all the confusion. I want God's power to sweep our church again. I want God's power, my friend, to sweep the preaching, to sweep the pulpit, to sweep the altar again so souls can be saved and lives can be changed for the glory of God. Amen. When they prayed, not when the pastor prays, not just when one or two people prays, when we all fall on our face before God and pray, the Bible says that the place where they assembled together were shaken. You know what God began to do? Well, God began to shake and rock to let them know, hey, I'm still around. I'm still alive. I'm still able. God's still able tonight. We get our eyes off of that a lot. We get our eyes off of that God is still able. And God is still capable. And God is still on his throne. And we get our eyes on what we can see. We get our eyes on our finances. We get our eyes on the attendance. We get our eyes on the government. We get our eyes on the presence. We get our eyes on everything that's taking place. And we, my friend, we should have them on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and realize this is his church. But when we pray and depend upon God, God can come and give us his power once again. And that's what all of us need. All of us need God's power to live this Christian life. That's the first thing that took place. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. Notice the second thing the Bible says, and they, speaking about the church, was all filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, tonight, if you're saved by God's grace, you have the Holy Ghost abiding within you. You've been baptized into the body of the Spirit of Christ. You've been baptized into the body of Christ. You receive his Spirit the moment you got saved. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you and abide with you, my friend. But hey, how many of us tonight can say, Pastor, I'm filled with the Spirit of God? Boy, I wouldn't want to raise my hand, would you? Say, church, I'm filled tonight. I hope I am. I've been praying, studying, reading, doing what I believe I should do to be try to be filled with the Spirit of God so I can try to help you. But the Bible says that when they prayed, that everybody was filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, everybody needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, we can't live this Christian life without him. We can't live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing in our own lives, my friend. But the Bible says when the church fell on their face before God and they prayed, that the place was shaken and everyone was filled with the Spirit of God. Wouldn't it be good tomorrow? The church people, I know Brother Pete's got someone's going to have surgery. We've got another young lady in our church going to have surgery this coming week. Brother Dale's going to have surgery tomorrow. Someone else going to have surgery this week that's not a member of this church. Wouldn't it be good, my friend, if we was filled with the Spirit of God. Can go beside them in a bed and grab their hands and pray with them. And they can feel and they can know and they have evidence that's in our lives that everything's going to be all right because we tell them that God's still in control. Hey, you know what Brother Dale needs tomorrow? He don't need someone with sympathy. He don't need someone, my friend, that's just going to quote a couple of Bible verses and say everything's going to be all right. He needs someone that's going to have compassion and that's going to have love and that's filled with the Spirit of God and says, Brother Dale, I pray for you and I know God can and God will take care of you. Wouldn't it be something if every one of us get filled with the Spirit of God? You know what that means? If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're not grieving or quenching the Spirit of God. That means you love God with all thine heart. You love your neighbor as yourself. Wouldn't it be good to come to church and have no bitterness, have no ought with anybody at all? Wouldn't it be good to come to church and all of us is filled with the Spirit of God and we know everybody loves each other, everybody's been praying for each other, no one has a hatred or bitterness against anybody in this assembly? If we get filled with the Spirit of God, it will be that way. Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, will move out of our hearts and lives the things that should not be there and fill it up with the things that should be there. I've got a few chickens at the house. I'll give you an illustration. I got a 5-gallon bucket I cut in half and I fill it with water so the chickens can drink. And they got a tendency to scratch, and every time they scratch, they throw that stupid dirt into the water bowl. You know what I do, Brother Jim? The water bowl's not about that much. I got another 5-gallon bucket. I fill the spigot. I turn the spigot on. I fill that 5-gallon bucket up with water, and I go to the chicken pen. I take that whole 5-gallon bucket of water, and I pour into that maybe 2.5-gallon bucket of water. I pour all that water. You say, Preacher Scott, that's too much. I know. I'm trying to pour too much so it'll wash out all the dirt that shouldn't be there. When you get filled up with God, He washes out the things that shouldn't be there and removes the things that shouldn't be there and fills it up with His grace and His love, His compassion, Himself. The Bible says when they prayed, hey, it's not all up to the man standing behind the pulpit. Amen, preacher, that's good. It's not all up to the pastor. It's up to every one of us that's born of His Spirit, been washed in His blood, and that claims ourselves a Christian. The Bible says when they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice the third thing. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Boy, ain't that something? It wasn't no matter who was listening. Rennie came up to me the other day and said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I've been passing out gospel tracts in school. Thank God for that. I said, Rennie, don't get in trouble, but keep it up. Hey, don't get in trouble, but keep it up. Got someone else in church doing something for the Lord. Got into a little bit of trouble for it. But my friend, you know what's going to happen when we pray? We get filled with the Spirit of God, we have boldness about us. Boldness to knock on someone's door and say, hey, I want to give you a gospel tract and tell you about Jesus and invite you to church, because if I get you to church, God can change your life. I'm talking about Holy Ghost boldness where your boss man cursing you and your boss man, my friend, isn't your best friend at all. As soon as he gets through cursing you, you look at him and say, hey, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you and I do too. We heard a story about a man being put in prison. He was part of World War II, I believe, and he was put in the Korean prison, and they beat him, tortured him, almost killed him. He got saved when he was in there. Somebody gave him a Bible. He read the Bible, got saved, and the story goes on that when they took him to prison and they beat him and scourged him and whipped him and tortured him, as soon as they got through torturing him, Brother Jim, he looked at him and said, hey, can I help you pray about something? They got him the very next day and beat him. And tortured him some more till he's at the point of death. And he looked at him and said, I hope your family's all right. I've been praying for him. I'm talking about boldness to speak the truth and speak it with love. Hey, my friend, the Bible says that when the church prayed, that God shook the place that was filled with the Spirit of God, and God gave them Holy Ghost boldness to speak the word of God. That's what we need. That's what I need. I don't need to be some type of preacher who's trying to appease everybody, who's trying to please everybody that comes to the door. I need to be a preacher who stands up and just preach the word of God like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Hey, just a shotgun preacher, I'm going to shoot it out there and hope something hits you every once in a while. The only way I can do that, the only way you can do that is by prayer. Prayer. I've said this many times, how important as prayer. It's as important as air. You get some of these young boys and young girls, you take your hand and cover their nose and cover their mouth so they can't breathe any oxygen in. That's all right for about 30, 40 seconds. But you start getting a minute or two, they're fighting with all they got to breathe. We should be fighting with all we got to pray. Just use every moment, every minute to pray. The Bible says when they prayed that the place was shaken, that it was filled with the Holy Spirit, that they spake the word of God with boldness. Look in verse 32. The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed was of one heart and of one soul. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If every member of Open Door Independent Baptist Church come together and we have the same agenda, we had the same purpose, we had the same mind, we had the same heart, no one was going the opposite direction, all of us was going the same way for Jesus. Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? Boy, that would be something. When I say to you, got a testimony for Jesus, hey, and everybody stands up at the same time and say, preacher, I want to tell you something. God's been good. Boy, that would be something if all of us was of one heart and one soul. Preacher, I'm coming to church to learn more about the Bible so I can go out and tell others about Jesus. I'm coming to church not for my own blessed benefit. I'm not coming to church for some social standing. I'm coming to church, preacher, so I can learn more about the Holy Bible so God can use me so I can be a better servant for Jesus. Preacher, I'm coming to church just to be a blessing to others, just to see souls saved, just to get on fire for God so God can use me in His service here in this world. I want to be good. We all get on board and get all in one accord. Have one heart. Wouldn't it be good if a heart beats all at the same time for souls to be saved, for God to be glorified, for His work to continue on here at Open Door? You say, preacher, it's not possible. But we got some stubborn, hard-headed men and women. Yeah, we do. We do. But if we pray, God can change every bit of it. God can change my heart from being a drunk and a dope head. God sure can change my heart to be in one accord with you. God can change your heart. I'm not saying get on the same ferry train I'm on. I'm saying we get on the same boat Jesus on. He said, hey, get on the ship. We're going to the other side. It's not my ship. It's not your ship. It's the Holy Ghost ship. And we need to get on it and just trust in Jesus and keep our eyes on Him and say, hey, Lord, whatever it takes, if you want me to row an oar, if you want me to stand and hold a sail, if you want me to hold a flashlight, if you want me to put my finger in the back hole and plug it up, Lord, whatever it may be, I just want to get to the other side and get there in victory and get there in abundant life and get there, my friend, serving the King of Kings. The Bible said when they prayed, all of this started taking place. Not only was the place shaken, not only did they filled with the Spirit of God, they began to speak the word of God with boldness, but the Bible says in verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one accord of soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed, which was his own. But listen to what it says. They had all things common. Not only did they have one heart and one soul, but they all had this one thing in common. Boy, ain't that something? Wouldn't that be something good to come to church and all of us have got one goal? And that's God. Let's come to church and preacher, it don't matter if I sing or not. Preacher, it don't matter if I'm able to testify. It don't matter if I'm able to take the offering up. Preacher, it don't matter if anyone passes me on the back. Preacher, it really don't matter if anyone comes to shake my hand or not. I'm coming for Jesus. I'm not coming for the pastor. I'm not coming for my neighbor. I'm not coming just to show up. I'm coming because I love Jesus. I might miss your hand, shaking hands. We was in the church the other day, probably has 600-700 people in there. There ain't no way in the world I shook everybody's hand. But it didn't matter. Because they didn't come for me. And I didn't go for them. We all went for Jesus. The Bible says here they was one heart, one soul, and had all things in common. They just loved Jesus. But it didn't take place until they prayed. Notice what else happened here. We'll find here, if you would, the sixth thing that took place in verse 33. And the Bible says, "And with great power gave they the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Boy, that's soul winning there. When the church prayed, they received power to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus. My friend, if we pray, I'm going to tell you this. Last year, how many souls got saved in this church and stayed? It don't take long to add it up. Zero plus zero is what? Zero. You know the reason why? Sister Tracy, you could say, well, it's because you're preaching. I could say it's because you're teaching. I could say it's because of the choir. We can pass the buck off on everything and anything you want to. But I believe the reason God's not blessing is because we're not praying. We're leaving it up to everyone else to fulfill your responsibility. The Bible says that when the church prayed, that the apostles received power to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe souls were saved. If you read this account, 3,000 people got saved and was added to the church. And God added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's people out there willing and waiting to be saved. Willing and waiting to be saved. If we'll just go tell them. But we don't have enough of compassion to go tell them. We don't have enough of boldness to go tell them. We don't have enough of concern to go tell them. But I will tell you what, if we'll get on our face before God and pray that someone will go, I promise you, God will put in the hearts of some people to go. But you know what it's going to take? Prayer. And if you start praying for others to go soul winning, you know what's going to take place? You'll start going soul winning. You'll start caring about souls. Well, I'm fired up about this. Getting people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Notice here the seventh thing the Bible says. But let's look at the whole verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." Boy, that's something we need, ain't it? Not just grace, but great grace. Well, God's grace is available to all of us. But the Bible says that He'll do us one better if we'll just all pray. You know what the Bible says? He'll give you great grace. You know what that means? That means when the devil throws you for a loop and things ain't going the way you think they should go, how you still can lift up a holy hand and say, God's still good. Hey, you still can come to church, and instead of giving a testimony message, you give a testimony message. Everybody know what the difference between a testimony and a testimony message is? Boy, a testimony is when you start bragging and shouting on God and saying how good God is. And a testimony message is when you're just full of baloney and you want people to feel sorry for you because of the situation you're in. Hey, my friend, God's still good and He's good all the time and you can count on Him and we all can lift our hands and say, God's been good to me far greater than I do deserve. Amen. My friend, when we pray and get filled with the power of God, great grace will be upon us all. Brother John, I talked to a woman the other day. Don't have a lot of income coming in. And she needed some help. And she said, God's not let me down yet. I believe He'll take care of me this time. And I believe God can. I believe God will. That's just great grace. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I know God's able because He loves me. Look, notice what else, what takes place when the church prays. The Bible says here in verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked." Boy, that's good, ain't it? God can give us all we need to serve Him with if we'll just pray. Church, you know where we're failing? We're not failing on our appearance. We got a beautiful building. I was in the church today, a brand new church. Went with Brother Steve. Church ain't been there, what, 2 years? Got a beautiful church. This church just as beautiful. It's just as new. It's just as good. It ain't because of what we don't have. It's because of what we don't do. the reason that God's not able to do for us like he wants to. I said this morning that when we pray, we're claiming our absolute dependence upon God. And my friend, when we don't pray, we're saying, God, I could do it myself. I don't need your help. You know what that is? That's idolatry. That's us putting our eyes on our own selves and making a God out of us and saying, God, I don't need you. I can take care of my own. But my friend, we can't. We need the Lord. The Bible says, and when the church prayed, these eight things took place. Now, my Bible says God's no respecter of persons. So what God's done for them, do you believe God can do for us? What God's done for them, do you believe God is willing to do for us? I do. I want to share this with you. The word prayer, or the word pray, is mentioned 313 times in the Bible. The word prayed is mentioned 65 times. The word prayer is mentioned 114 times. The word prayers is mentioned 24 times. The word praying is mentioned 20 times. The word prayest was mentioned twice. The word prayeth mentioned 7 times. A total of 545 times the word prayer or something similar to prayer was mentioned in God's word. You know how many times the word preach is mentioned in the Bible? 50 times. If you do a whole lot of praying, we don't have to worry about the preaching because God will take care of the rest. 545 times the word prayer is mentioned. You think God is putting emphasis on prayer? You think God has a story here just to fill up space? The Bible says, well, Peter and John, when they were scourged, they was let go. They went to their own company. They told them what took place. And the priest and the high priest said, hey, don't speak about Jesus anymore. They went to the church and said, church, we've got a problem. The high priest told us not to speak about Jesus anymore. What should we do? And somebody said, I know. Let's just pray about it. And so what did they do? They all prayed. And they begin to quote Psalms 2 about God is sitting upon his throne. And my friend, he'll make the heathen and he'll make all those who oppose God, he'll make them just vanish away. And they said that when they got through praying, that God shook the place. Hey, God said, hey, you've got a problem, but I'm the answer. I can give you power. And they was filled with the Spirit of God. They had all things in common. They began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Hey, the apostles began to have a great witness. They said, hey, we're not listening to man. We're going to listen to God. And God said, speak the Word with boldness. The Bible said they had all things common and they lacked nothing. My friend, you know what we need? Say, preacher, we need a bigger offering. Oh, that would help. I'm not going to say we don't need it. But what's going to get us a bigger offering? Prayer. Say, preacher, we need more souls to be saved. I agree with you. I'd like to see more souls saved. Thomas Steele, you might not know him. He's a black preacher. Good man of God. I love to get him here. I love to get Tommy Steele and his choir to come to our church and preach and sing. Boy, that would be a blessing. I'll sit there and just love it all up. You know what he said? He said the month of January, they've already had 79 people saved. You know what he said? The year 2010, they had over 700 people saved. He said this year, 2011, we're looking for over 1,000 people to be saved. Boy, I'd be happy if we just get one person saved. What's the difference? I believe prayer. Just simple prayer. Not my preaching, not your singing, but just prayer. Prayer will make all the difference. Prayer will make all the difference. If you don't hear anything else I say, if you ain't understood or comprehend anything I've said today, I want you to hear this one thing. Prayer will make a difference in our church. But it's when we come together to pray that God will bless and begin to move and do what only he can do. You say, I'm tired, preacher. I've been in this thing too long. I've seen too much. Too much water has rolled over my back. I've just been in it too long, and I've seen too much, and I just don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen again like it used to. As long as we have the attitude, it won't. But if we say, God, we need you, you're still God, and we're still depending upon you, I believe God in heaven will smile and say, okie dokie, I'll do it again. My friend, don't you want God's blessings? I'm not talking about my life. I told a man in the men's prayer room, I've got God's blessings in my life. I'd be a fool to tell you I don't. I do. Hey, I'm not knocking it. God's been so good to me and my wife. It's pathetic how good God is. But I want God to be good in our church. I want God to be good in every individual lives that's here tonight. I want God, my friend, to do something supernatural. So when God gets through, all we can say is, God done it. I don't know how, but God done it. And the only way that's going to take place is for us to pray and say, God, it's all up to you. I'm trusting in you. It's not my prayer. It's not your prayer. It's our prayers coming together, filling up the cup of God. And when God sees it, he'll say, I'm well pleased. I believe I'm going to do something for that little church out there in the country that they won't even believe. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray. I want to do this. Tiffany, let's sit right there. She don't have a great opportunity to pray a lot of times. So tonight we won't have invitation song. We won't have invitation music.